Welcome to the Search Storage UK podcast on disk-based backup. The speaker on this podcast is W. Curtis Preston, who is Vice President of Data Protection at Glasshouse Technologies. Curtis has 25 years of experience in every facet of data storage and backup. He has designed storage and backup infrastructures for hundreds of organisations, ranging from small local businesses to Fortune 1000 corporations. Curtis has also written a number of books on data storage and backup, and has dozens of magazine articles, seminars and speaking engagements to his credit, including Tech Target's Backup School seminars, which run regularly at venues in the US and UK. On this podcast, Curtis will define disk-based backup, outline its benefits and challenges, and describe the key dividing lines between disk-based backup products. The first question is, what is disk-based backup?
Disk-based backup comes in a number of forms. There are two main categories. One is disk staging, which is using disk purely as an intermediary storage device on the way to tape, where you're storing just one or two nights worth of backup on disk and then immediately spawning it off to tape. When I use the term disk backup, I think going beyond disk staging, and that is holding backups on disk long enough so that they can be used for recovery, regular operational recoveries. With disk staging, you send backups to disk and then immediately to tape. And so when you do restores, the bulk of your data is coming from tape. So it helps backups but not restores. Disk backup, on the other hand, since much more data is remaining on disk, it helps both backups and restores.
Why is disk-based backup an important technology to consider?
The reason disk-based backup has garnered a lot of attention, there's actually a few reasons. The biggest initial reason was that tape has become harder and harder to keep happy in the way that we used to use it. And by that, I mean backing up across the LAN directly to tape. Today, unless you have upgraded to 10 gigabit Ethernet, which most people have not, the gigabit Ethernet pipe into your backup server is simply unable to supply enough throughput to keep modern tape drives happy. Using LTO4 as an example, it wants 120 megabytes per second native throughput. If you multiply that times a conservative 1.5-to-1 compression ratio, it wants 180 megabytes a second in order to fully utilize that tape drive. It needs at least 40 to 50 megabytes a second to not shoeshine at all, or back hitch, as we say. It is a multiple speed tape drive, but its slowest speed that it can go without back hitching and shoeshining is 23 megabytes a second. You multiply that times a modest compression ratio and you end somewhere between 40 to 50 megabytes a second that drive has to go as a minimum speed to stream that drive. And unfortunately, while that number, the lowest speed, is a number that we can feed typically with gigabit Ethernet, it's often only possible by using technologies such as multiplexing, which help backups but hurt restores. Multiplexing has been around a long time, and you know, I've often said the phrase that it is evil, but it is a necessary evil if you're going across the network directly to tape. So that problem has gotten worse and worse and worse. Tape drives have gotten faster and faster. Disk drives have also gotten faster, but they're not keeping up with the speed of the tape. And they're also, the network, which is being used as a transport mechanism, has not kept up with the speed of the tape. And so the number one reason that we're backing up to disk is to basically, although we're still eventually going to tape, disk is in the middle, and we're using it to keep the tape drive happy. The second reason why disk is being considered today is that it's become much more affordable for two reasons. One is the concept of putting SATA disk behind a fiber channel adapter so that we can actually plug in SATA disk into an array and therefore into our backup server and use it, and also the advent of virtual tape libraries and other things that allow disk to be used much cheaper with the backup server than ever before, and also the advent of deduplication. And, you know, if you haven't heard of dedupe, then, you know, I'm not sure what rock you've been living under, but it's a big, big thing. And it reduces the amount of disk the cost. It reduces the cost of the disk for disk backups by anywhere from 10 to 20 times less. You know, it's a huge reduction in cost. So the summary reasons, again, are because going to disk makes it easier to eventually go to tape if that's what you want. And then the second reason is that it's become much more affordable due to a number of other reasons.
What benefits can disk as a target bring to backup?
The biggest benefit that disk brings to backup is simply backups that work. And backups that work mean restores that work. I would say at least half of the backup failures in today's backup and recovery environments are attributed to the fact that they're going to this very variable medium called tape. That by simply going to disk first instead of tape, all of these media errors and things that are caused by the tape drives not being streamed simply disappear. So backups simply work better with much less effort. We also get to stop using things like multiplexing that always were sort of problematic solutions to the problem. And the second thing is, well, restores at work. And by work, I mean they work much faster, much quicker. By putting things on disk, we can stripe a bunch of disk drives together, do a RAID array, and create a virtual device that's much faster than any single tape drive could be. Disk is not faster than tape. I don't want to say, to make sure I'm not saying that. A disk is still currently slower than a tape drive. But with disk, we can band them together into a RAID array, so we create a virtual device that actually is much faster than tape. And another thing disk can do is immediately respond. So whether we're talking virtual tape or a file system being used as a target for backups, the backup is immediately loaded instead of the usual go grab a tape, move the tape into the tape drive, position to the appropriate point on the tape. That can take as much as 3 minutes depending on which tape technology we're talking about. In a disk system, that 3 minutes is reduced to zero. And the more tapes your backup ends up being on, the bigger deal that is. So it's very common to load several tapes to do a single large restore. And with some technologies, you could even load hundreds of tapes to do a single large restore. All of those tapes loading in 0 seconds instead of 2 to 3 minutes saves a significant amount of time.
What are the key dividing lines between products?
The biggest, there's a couple of dividing lines. One is virtual tape or not virtual tape. And virtual tape are disk systems with a head in front of them that are pretending to be one or more tape libraries. There's a lot of reasons why some people prefer virtual tape, others do not. For those people, they would prefer a file system approach. Generally speaking, what we're talking about are products that are specifically targeted at backups. Today, they tend to be NAS products. That is, they're accessible via NFS or SCSI. And then as long as we're talking about interfaces to tape, one new interesting development for those that are customers of SemanticNet Backup, they have another interface, which is called the Open Storage Option, which is another way for backup in their case, their backup product to pass data to the disk device. That's sort of the dividing lines in terms of how the data is passed to the device. The other dividing lines tend to come once we start talking about deduplication. With deduplication, we have two big dividing lines. One is source dedupe versus target dedupe. Source dedupe is actually backup software that dedupes from the very beginning. You stop using your current backup software and on your client that you want to back it up, and you put this dedupe backup software on your client and dedupe backup software on the server. And if data has already been backed up, not only does it not store it in the disk device, it actually doesn't transfer it across the network, which makes these types of products really good for remote sites. And then, so that's source dedupe. Target dedupe is VTLs and other intelligent disk targets that are being used as target for backups, but then once the backup arrives, the data is then deduplicated to save storage. Now, there are five other ways to divide that particular category, but we don't need to get into those in this particular call. So suffice it to say, we're talking VTLs, NAS, or open storage option today. And by the way, some of the products support all three. I think of them as personalities, which is one of the reasons that the whole VTL or not argument is starting to become a bit moot, that VTL is simply a personality. It's not necessarily a product category. So VTL's NAS, an open storage option, and then either target dedupe or source dedupe is the other way to divide things.
What are the main challenges and pitfalls to consider during the implementation of disk-based backup products?
There are some really great products out there, and there are some really slow products out there. So the thing that I keep telling people over and over and over again is, and this is true especially when it comes to dedupe, is that you will not know how this product performs until you test it with your data, with a reasonably large amount of data, until you fill up the device and then delete some data and put some more data in, until you store the amount of data in there from a retention period standpoint that you intend on doing in production. So if you intend on storing 90 days on average of backups in this disk subsystem, then you should be testing that 90 days worth of backups with that system. That doesn't mean necessarily, by the way, that it takes 90 days to do that test. That's a whole other discussion. But as long as you test everything that you plan to do, but you have to test the level of throughput. If you plan to do, if you plan to buy a box that does 500 megabytes a second, and you plan to do 500 megabytes a second with that box, then that's what you should be testing. Don't test 20 or 50 or 100 megabytes a second and then get surprised when you go into production and it doesn't do 500. It only does, 200 or 300, and you should have bought two instead of one. Or maybe you could have bought a different vendor's box that actually would have done 500 for the same price. And also there are pieces of functionality that may seem common sense to you, but may not be available in some products, such as replication or copying backups out of the device to tape. How that happens, most people will back up to disk and then also back up to tape. If you plan on doing that, you're in the majority, but how that happens and how fast that happens is a really big deal. Since the number one reason that we went to disk was to stream the tape, the device that you're backing up to better be able to stream the tape that you plan to copy to. Otherwise, you missed the whole point, right? You didn't fix the problem. Now you're still not streaming the tape drive, which will still cause failures, which will still cause problems in your environment. So the pitfalls are generally that the device that you buy either isn't fast enough for backups or isn't fast enough for restores or isn't fast enough for copying to tape. And if we're talking about dedupe, there are half a dozen plus different ways to identify and eliminate redundant data. The way that they eliminate the way they identify the redundancies can cause great differences in deduplication ratios in the same environment. So if you tested two or three different products, you absolutely will get two or three different effective deduplication ratios, thus affecting your system cost. So right now the greatest danger is, it's not a danger, it's just a challenge. The greatest challenge is finding out, separating fact from fiction and finding out and testing what it is you plan to actually do in production, and making sure that the product that you buy does that before you buy it, not after it. I can't tell you the number of emails that I get on a regular basis. Hey, 2 weeks ago or 3 months ago, I bought product ABC. Now I want to do this thing. How do I do this thing with product ABC? And, I'm constantly flabbergasted because I want to say, well, how did you do it in testing? And why don't you do it that way? And, of course, the answer I know is, well, we didn't do it in testing. Because sometimes when they ask me, how do I do thing ABC with product XYZ, my answer is, well, you don't, because it doesn't do that. You should have brought, product PDQ. So test, test, test. It's more important with this new technology than ever before.